Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. We're continuing our, trudge, march, whatever it was, through the Resident Evil series, and we're now up to Resident Evil 4 Afterlife, because they asked themselves, what comes after the apocalypse? I guess the afterlife? Wait, no, fuck. What was the third one called?
Extinction, I thought.
Oh, well, okay, I guess apocalypse, then extinction, then afterlife. It checks out. And then after this, retribution, because I guess she comes back as a ghost. Anyways, I guess let's go around.
Somehow she didn't die in any of the other ones, so.
I mean, she dies a lot in this one and in the last one.
That's true.
This series actually has kind of an obsession with showing you Mila Jovovich's corpse over and over. Anyways, I guess let's go around.
Polier, not healthy. Not healthy, bud.
Yeah, stop killing your wife. That woman gave birth to your children. Anyways, let's go around and would you recommend this? I'll start. I'm in this really weird spot, because everyone else in this chat, I think, kind of hates this movie. And I sort of liked it. Like, it's dumb. It's really fucking stupid. But I think it's kind of weirdly sort of well-directed in a way. Like, the little dialogue scenes kind of have some snap to them. The action is generally pretty legible. It's got, like, neat sets and interesting set pieces. Granted, everything here is sort of stolen from another movie, but they're kind of remixed in interesting ways or amped up, and I wasn't bored by it. On the other hand, the fact that the script is like absolutely like dumb shit stupid and it was written by the director kind of means that, I mean, he's still like the reason this movie is like not good. He's just like getting there in a weird reason way. So I don't know. Yeah. Ronald, what'd you think?
Yeah, man, I mostly agree with what you said. This is a high budget movie somehow. And despite how fucking stupid this movie is, I do think that it moves at a pretty good clip. It's not too long, which I enjoyed. And like, the scenes are visually interesting. Like, I think Paul W.S. Anderson does know how to do that. The problem with this movie is it's just fucking stupid. Like, I don't even really know what this movie's about. Like, what was the director trying to say here?
It's about corporate power gone wrong, Ronald.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, you can honestly make that argument for some of the earlier ones, but in this one it's just like, I don't think that's really the message he's trying to get through.
I think it's about Paul W.S. Anderson. Someone bet him, I bet you can't rip off The Matrix and The Fly in the same scene, and he's like, I'll fucking show you, idiot.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but it's filled with artifacts from the 3D movie era that just feels so out of place now that I forgot that 3D movies existed, and I was like, why did the tentacles look so stupid? And then I was like, oh, it was probably a 3D movie, that's why. So, I don't know, this movie, I would not recommend it. Like, I can't in good conscience recommend this to somebody. It's basically a waste of time. I guess if you're watching through the entire Resident Evil series, this is passable.
Perhaps for a podcast or some such.
Yeah. This is maybe as good as the third one. I don't know. That's all I got.
Brandon, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I think that if you've gotten this far and you watch the first three, that you should just succumb to the sunk cost fallacy and you have to watch the next three. But putting that aside, I do think this one wasn't as bad as I remembered, possibly being anchored by what I know awaits us in the fifth movie. But
oh god!
But I thought that this, I think this moved at a good pace, and none of it was really, there weren't like boring sections, and I think that, you know, the dialogue didn't like drag on, or they didn't have like too many really cheesy lines that just, you know, constantly making me roll my eyes or anything like that. So I think it moved okay. Yeah, like Ronald said, it definitely had some callbacks to the 3D. Movie era, like, you know, lots of things have to come into the screen or out of the screen at you, and yeah, the tentacles looked weird, which is probably related to that. So I'd say I would still kind of recommend this one.
And finally, Rahul, what do you think?
Well, pod opinion seems like it's going pretty easy on this movie. hate to say it, but I kind of agree. This movie fucking sucks.
You know, I think we're just, what's the hostage thing?
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, we're Stockholm.
Yeah, syndrome. We're Stockholmed.
This isn't that bad. He's trying.
This, see, I didn't feel that way. I don't feel like he's trying. But, okay, so this is my experience of this movie. There's the opening scene where Alice is invading a hive, and it's so poorly done that it frames the entire movie as acceptable. Because I know what I'm getting into. So I do not recommend it, but it was still, despite how terrible it was, somehow enjoyable.
Now, I, before we get to the summary, I have a kind of a question for all of you guys. Do we think that this might be the best Resident Evil movie we've seen so far? My case for it is... let me at least try to make my case for it, right? So the first movie, the first half, incredible. Well, not incredible. The first half, competent and well done, albeit still stupid. But the second half gets really, really boring. Whereas this movie, stupid throughout, but never boring. So in that metric, it might be better than the first one, which is the best one.
If that's the only metric you're looking at, maybe. But the first one has a passable script.
I mean,
if this one is just like, I don't think there was a script.
Was there?
I think there was maybe a storyboard that Paul W.S. Anderson was like, all right, I want to have a guy with a big hammer. I want to have a fight on a battleship. I want a plane landing on top of a skyscraper. And that's, you know, that's what we got. That's what we're going to do.
Actually, I think that it might
Bought the hammer, so we'll put the hammer in.
Okay, first of all, the hammer I do not think ever actually existed in real space. I believe it to have been always CGI. And second, I don't think there were storyboards or like drawings or whatever. I think it was literally just Paul W.S. Anderson drew a series of like outfits that he would like to see Mila Jovovich in, and they kind of built the movie around that.
He's like,
what if she was a ninja? What if she was super cool? What if she
I think you might be onto something.
What if she looked hot but was next to a hammer guy? What if she almost took off her clothes and took a shower but didn't, you know? Anyways.
Like, I think that basically happened in the studio. Was like, look, you got to put in some stuff from the games because that's where our audience is. And he's like, okay, give me some character names. And then, you know, he did an absolutely terrible, unfaithful replication of those characters.
I mean, to be fair, if he had actually been trying to follow four, I mean, would you trust Paul W.S. Anderson to try to show us what Europeans are like? I wouldn't. I think it would go somewhere weird.
Come on, I mean, I don't think he should have followed the games, but I think that just like naming some of the characters in this, like Chris and what is the other woman's name? Something red.
Claire.
Hey, so yeah. I need to check the timeline on this. It's possible that this is the reason that Wesker is the way he is in Resident Evil 5.
I don't know. I think he was already superpowered in one way or another by this time.
Oh, no, I take that back. Resident Evil 5 came out in 2009. Resident Evil Afterlife came out in 2010. This movie, even the idea of what if Wesker was like a douchier Agent Smith is not original to this film. Okay, never mind. Anyways, you guys want to get into these?
That would shock me if this had any original or lasting implications.
For like the series, not even for like the world, just for like the series, right? I think that this actually ends up not even really affecting the next movie very much because they kind of retcon away everything that happens.
Well, they already did that with the third one too.
Yeah, that's one of the main mistakes these movies make. The first three are interesting because they never undo a decision that the previous movies made, so they just keep building on each other and getting crazier. And then this is the first time that they ever take their foot off the gas pedal, and it kind of sucks. Anyways, I have discovered something, though. Would you like to know what Albert Wesker's name is in the original Japanese game?
Sure.
Arubato Wesuka. Because that's kind of how... Yeah, I know
that sounds the same, actually.
It does sound like I just tried to say his name with a racist Japanese accent, but that is actually how it is transliterated on Wikipedia. So, anyways, let's get to the summary.
Hey, Lawrence, really quick before we move on, you're a little quiet.
Really?
It's not terrible, but you're just a little quiet.
How about now? How about that's better, now? For sure.
Talk regular so that I can actually tell.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking me to do ASMR. Anyways.
Yeah, tap your teeth for us.
Yeah, do a couple teeth taps.
Maybe get a jar. My hand. Get yeah, the drill. Stick my hand into the jar of teeth that I have for unrelated reasons. Anyways, let's go ahead and roll. So
okay, yeah. Go ahead and roll the die.
1, 2 for me, 3, 4 for Rahul, 5, 6 for Brandon, 7, 8 for Ronald. Yep, it's a little bit of a Ronald summary. So everyone mute, and Ronald, show us what you got.
It's me, huh? All right. Actually, you know what? Let's pass this off to Brandon because he's going to remember it better than me.
Fair
Brandon,
enough.
Brandon, you go ahead.
Even when I don't get the roll, I get the roll.
I know. Let's just re-roll with myself, Lawrence.
I didn't re-roll it. I remember we changed the rules, so I just get to pick who goes.
What?
I mean, I don't remember that.
If I get my roll, I get to pick who goes.
Okay. Sure, whatever. I don't care enough to argue, and I'm not.
Brandon, if you refuse, then we can re-roll. How about that?
No, that's how about fair. This? If Brandon refuses, we just don't have a summary.
It wouldn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, anyways, no,
Brandon will do a good job. I won't.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes. This movie doesn't really. This movie, although it has no plot, is rich with incident. So, anyways, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so as Raul alluded to, the movie starts with all the Alice clones that were unleashed from the previous movie assaulting a Tokyo Umbrella base wherein Wesker resides. he fights some of them and he escapes in a crazy helicopter thing, and he injects the real Alice, who sews way on board, with something that he says neutralizes her T virus, which is hilarious because they show literal T-shaped cells in her body, in her bloodstream. They crash, and even though Wesker says that she's now human and doesn't have her T-virus powers, she walks out of the crash, no problem. 6 months later, she flies to find Arcadia in Alaska to meet up with the others, and she finds Claire, who has amnesia, and tries to fight her. Then they fly to LA, and they find a prison where a few people are, like, survivors are on the roof, and they spelled out, "Help us," so she lands on the prison. They find out that they also know about Arcadia because Arcadia is dun-dun-dun, a ship, not a town, and it's been traveling up and down the coast. So they're kind of like figuring out how they're going to get out of there. While they're just hanging out, some tentacle zombies break in from the sewers, so they decide they need to get out. There was a prisoner in like this lone cell, kind of like a Hannibal Lecter setup, and they don't know if they should trust him, but he says he knows a way out. After they release him, it's revealed that he's Chris Redfield, Claire's brother, although she doesn't remember, she can't corroborate that because she still has amnesia. He says that there's this military vehicle from when the military occupied the prison that can get them out, but it has its engine pulled. Then they have like more zombies breaking in, yada yada yada. They decide they're going to fight their way out through the sewer tunnel that the zombies were coming in from. They eventually get out. They get on a boat to go out to the Arcadia ship, and they find out that it's just an umbrella trap to lure people in so they can experiment on them. Wesker is there. They fight him, and he escapes again. But this time, Alice put the self-destruct bomb on his ship, so when he triggers self-destruct, it just blows him up. And that's pretty much it.
Wow, this movie sounds good. When you describe it.
And then there's a stinger sequence where, what's her face? Sienna Gilroy? I forget.
Valentine.
Yeah, Jill Valentine. Shows up and she's being mind controlled by one of those spiders and is going to lead a bunch of umbrella goons in attacking the ship. Because
for some
they
reason.
Still want Alice, I guess. I don't understand why though.
And she's the character from the second movie, but she looks totally different.
Yeah, although on the other hand, she is wearing a jumpsuit where you get to see a fair amount of her boobs, which I like because you know I'm horny.
So yeah, clearly anyone who thinks she looks different was just distracted.
Look, man, I'm not saying she didn't look good.
Maybe she was a clone or something. Who the fuck knows? I mean, the next movie, they do just start going nuts and cloning everyone. This series is kind of, you think it's about zombies, but it turns out to mostly be about clones.
Which, actually, the Clone Wars.
Yeah. This makes more sense as the Clone Wars than Star Wars Episode II did, though. So
yeah, I mean, at least, you know, they're clones. They fight each other, you know. Anyways, I guess let's get to some high points, which I guess I'll start with just... Now, I don't... The guy who's playing Wesker, I don't think he's doing a good job. He's got this really weird accent that he doesn't seem to have, like, any control over whatsoever. I kept wondering if he was British and trying to do a bad American accent, but apparently he's a Canadian and they just told him to talk like that. But you know what? He gives a really weird performance that is pretty fun to watch, even if it's kind of shitty. And the idea of what if, you know, fucking Agent Smith was rushing the, like, most sex crimiest frat on your college campus, and that's the character? Pretty weird. Never seen that before. Kind of cool. Apparently they recast him, Wesker, from the last movie, and I think that this guy is, like, better, different at least. I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, I liked him. I
barely remember Wesker in the last movie.
Yeah, I thought it was the same guy, honestly. I didn't realize. Yeah,
they are both kind of generic white guys, but this guy at least is doing a weird accent.
True. Yeah, high points. Okay.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. You know what? I will say that there is some pretty cool scenery in this. I mentioned it before, but there is a scene where Alice lands a plane on top of a skyscraper, and that's, like, a pretty cool scene. And it ends up not really being a skyscraper, I guess, but because it's just a prison, it doesn't really make sense to build it up that high. And it doesn't seem like it is that high. It only seems like it's a couple stories high. But in the first scene, it seems like she's very high up. So I don't know.
There is one shot of the inside, I thought, where they kind of did show lots of cell rows stacked on top of each other, like panning upwards, I think.
Yeah, with the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So maybe it was, like, I don't know.
But it's still weird.
Good amount of stories.
Yeah. I wouldn't, when you think prison, you don't think 30 story tall building, you know?
Right.
Let's see. Oh, I got another one, which is, you know, I know makeup kind of a fraught topic. You know, are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for men? Are you doing it because marketers 100 years ago decided to create this weird culture where you have to make makeup? Whatever. I appreciate the fact that, you know, 5 years into the apocalypse, every single woman in this movie has taken like 20, 30 minutes every day to put on their makeup. I don't know if they're doing it for me, but I still appreciate the effort into looking good. So, you know, thumbs up, ladies.
All right. I have a real high point. I thought the music overall was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's by Dan.
I just like that old type of techno-y 2000s music, I guess.
It is very reminiscent of the era.
Yeah, for sure. You can tell where I came from with that, but I thought it was good.
I think it's the first time in a Resident Evil movie the score has drawn my attention to it, and I've liked it. The first one, you pay attention because it's all new metal, but it kind of sucks, you know? Like normal new metal. Anyways, Brandon, I think I cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, I was just going to say, part of the music that I liked was the whole, like, most of the whole end fight scene with Wesker. They were playing some kind of thing that was like... I never, like, played them side by side to figure out if they were actually doing a little loop from it, but it sounded like related to the Tool song, which is then the outro song. But it was a little bit different the whole time. So I thought that was
I don't know. I paused somewhere and it said a perfect circle on my Amazon, but I don't remember where that was.
Whatever.
James Maynard's I don't team know.
Band.
Same era. Same kind of era, right?
I mean, it all kind of low-key sounds the same, if we're being honest.
Except for Tool Superior.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
As circles are bullshit.
Yeah, especially perfect ones. Hate that shit.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Have a flaw, idiot.
There's a character... Oh, here's another high point. There's a character in this who is a coward and a pervert. And he dies pretty much instantly.
You know, for a second, I thought you were talking about Kim Coates, who's also a coward and a pervert, but lives longer.
I guess he's a pervert? I don't remember.
Yeah, because he's a producer. And all producers are perverts.
It's, you don't have that kind of facial hair without being a creep.
That's true.
What was Kim... Go ahead.
You can't help, I know you can't help how your face looks, but that kind of facial hair is a fucking choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
Okay, what was Kim Coates doing in this movie as in such a, like, kind of a minor role?
It got me, man.
Everyone He's else kind... in this is, like, basically unknown.
I kind of recognize Boris Kodjo, but yeah, it's... oh, and Ali Larder, of course. But yeah, it's really weird to just get this, like, great character actor, and then... I mean, he's playing the Kim Coates role, but they could have given him more to do while being Kim Coates, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, they had a... what's his name? Wentworth Miller and Ali Larder and Milla Jovovich is, like, the main guys. Wentworth Miller and Ali Larder are kind of, like, TV stars, you know? They're, like, very attractive people who have enough acting talent to carry a TV show, but, like, weren't really given movie roles at the time. But I feel like Kim Coates is, I don't know, I feel like he's, like, a very respected, high-level character actor. So, I don't know, it just seems kind of a weird role for him.
He probably read the script and was like, this is some good shit.
This is so good.
I could bring my talents to bear upon this script. Yeah.
You know, I'm looking over Kim Coates' Wikipedia page, and there's a picture of him on a USO tour. Like, can you imagine you're a troop, and they're, like, calling you in for some entertainment, and it's just Kim Coates kind of standing there?
Like, Kim Coates doing, like, really awkward stand-up. It's like the Joker.
He actually would be a phenomenal Joker. He'd be like Joker with some like miles on him, you know?
In a way, it kind of feels like Joaquin Phoenix has like taken a little bit of his energy for that role and like the his role in The Master.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Anyways,
but yeah, Kim Coates highlight. High point. That was the point of that.
Yeah. I okay, the scene where they introduce Boris Kodjo, I kind of liked. He, you know, he's very low key. They're like, Alice is like, "Do you look familiar? Where do I know you?" And he's like, "Are you a basketball fan?" And she's like, "No, I don't really care about sports." And also, I mean, apparently she spent like the last 5 years of her life living in an underground hive. I don't know if they got sports. But anyways, oh, and then he's like, "Well, maybe you're just a fan of quality watches." And then he points over and there's a billboard across the way with a picture of him. And he gives this kind of self-deprecating chuckle. And you know what? Charming. Just laughing at the ludicrousness of their situation.
Yeah. I think he was a great character.
Yeah.
For how minor he was, like, the guy played him out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I would honestly venture to say that probably they liked him so much that they showed him alive at the end, even though he was definitely written in as just dying there.
Yeah, I mean, it's ludicrous that he survived, but okay.
Yeah.
He's just so likable that
who cares? Nothing matters in this movie.
Yeah, he shouts, "That's star power, bitch!" And I guess that was enough to fend off the zombies.
Yeah, why not? Also, well, why did Alice have so many fucking quarters?
Apparently, if you put them in a shotgun, it makes it super.
Yeah, but how did she have that many? She had a fucking bag of quarters on her back so that she could shoot like 20 rounds in this.
I don't know why you think that's crazy, Ronald. In the apocalypse, I'd be carrying around quarters.
You'd be carrying around quarters?
I assume that every time she passes a vending machine, she just cracks it open and grabs the quarters.
She's like looking for gumball machines in the apocalypse. Like,
oh god. This hike is so hard with 50 pounds of quarters on my back.
But it's going to be worth it when I can shoot my shotgun 4 times and for some reason this is more powerful than anything else that could go in a shotgun.
I don't get why quarters even fit into a shotgun.
Like, why not, man? Like, who cares at this point? It's
a fucking cannon. It's not a shotgun.
Like, you ever used a Dremel? She just Dremeled out some extra space. Profit.
But what I liked about that is that when they used it in the shower fight against we have Pyramid Head at Home guy, was Claire shoots him and like, yeah, he gets some exit wounds and then he falls down, right? But it did look like it didn't harm him that much.
Pretty much did nothing.
Then he gets back up and he charges her. Well, then Alice shoots him with the quarters and his fucking head explodes.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I'll show you how to use the quarters. I'm the master of the quarters.
Redfield didn't know how to pull the trigger right.
He only pulled it halfway, so it only half shot. That's how it works. The other thing that I mean, okay, it shoots the super zombie. Pretty weird. Also, very weird that they're just like, okay, I know it's a Resident Evil movie, but let's rip off Silent Hill. But anyway, the other thing is, it's later shown to be earlier shown to be powerful enough that it can like blast a quarter through a steel door that appears to be like 4 inches thick. Which, I mean, even a regular shotgun can't do this, but I guess that's just the power of the quarter.
Just that's how quarters work, you know.
Yeah,
they're self-propelled. It's kind of like the diamond in Congo. You know, quarters work the same way.
It's the exact same. Well, that explains. I mean,
that would have been a great weapon to have.
Yeah, why didn't they get this in the laser from Congo? What was she thinking?
Why doesn't? I mean, Wesker has satellites. Why don't they put a laser on the satellite?
He doesn't use the satellites in this one.
No, he does. That's how he's tracking Alice. That's why they
constantly.
They have satellites that are so powerful that they can hear conversations from outer space.
Which
I know you're thinking that's impossible. There's no air in space, and that's not how sound works. But just go with it, man.
Let me try to do his accent. There aren't many people flying. Shit! I don't know what my accent is. I lost it.
You're like the trailer voice.
Go to Dracula.
I think it would be like
in a world.
I want to take a run at this. I told you I'd bring my friends.
You should have brought more.
That was pretty good.
That was actually
I
good.
Was really expecting you to go, you should have brought more.
the key is a little gruff and weird pauses. That's how he's talking.
That was a pretty good, you know, Wesker said only stupid things, but that was a pretty good little comeback.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Now I think
he's playing the character as if he's trying to hold the squid in his mouth. Like, I think that's why he's talking weird. I honestly.
Oh, that's so good.
And like, I think that's like a pretty genius like choice from the actor.
I want to be smug, but if I open my mouth too much, the tentacles come out.
That's brilliant.
That's also his one note is basically smug. Like throughout, no matter what happens, he will be smug about it.
Yeah.
He is literally smug about the fact that he died, was resurrected by a virus. The virus started taking over his body, and then he started ingesting fresh human DNA so that he could stay human. Which also, is he drinking cum? That sounds like he's drinking cum.
I don't think so.
He might be.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe also that. But.
Yeah, this is wishful thinking, Lawrence.
Yeah, he's talking about all this like ridiculous stuff he's doing because he's lost control of his body, and then he has the audacity to call the DNA that he's eating weak. Like, bro, what?
I love it. Well, you know, the real Alice is hard to get to, but I just love. Okay, so are we getting into
whatever? Let's
do it.
Yeah, there's this part at the end where they're like, they realize that it's an umbrella ship, and they're like, "This is a trap." And then this huge steel door opens, and they just go straight in.
Wesker is not stalking them. Wesker is spending his entire time just sitting in a chair waiting for them to come to him. They could have probably have just left and avoided all
they
this.
They could have just walked away. He's too lazy to do anything else.
He's like, why aren't you fighting?
And then literally Wesker, this whole thing is a comedy. Literally Wesker could have just like closed the door behind them and then just the end. Just lock all the doors. Game over.
But then he couldn't, whatever he was, drink Alice's DNA, I guess.
Well, just, you know, after 3 days, they're like on the verge of death. They didn't carry in like, I mean, I know I'm trying to like make this more than it is, but
so I guess
you don't have to open all the doors.
Wesker's ultimate plan in this, I guess, after he gets blown up and the virus starts taking over his body. So then he figures out where Alice is and he's like, well, her DNA could resist the T-virus. So if I ingest it, maybe I'll stop being T-virus, which I don't know.
It's like, if he had just not been a dick and been like, hey, can I have some of your blood? She probably just would have given it to him.
Well, maybe not, because she does seem to hate him, but he should have rolled those dice and be like, hey, okay, you know how you hate me? Wouldn't you hate me more if I was a tentacle monster?
He should have gone back to the old hive and there were a million of her clones' bodies.
Maybe, yeah, right. Why does he need her fucking DNA? There's a million fucking Alice clones. Just go drink one and consume one of their DNAs. I guess he blew them all up, maybe.
Well, I mean, they spent a lot of the second or third movie, I think, talking about how the clones were imperfect and they didn't bond with the T-virus the same way.
Even though they seemed fine.
But I mean, then in the opening scene, they seemed like exactly the same.
Yeah,
and then he's like,
they were idiots and
you're the real Alice. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
okay, so hear me out on this. Umbrella's ultimate thing in this is that they're trying to make like a perfect weapon or something, right? I guess, question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the third movie,
I don't even know, but sure.
I mean, that's
a fine assumption.
Yeah, by the third movie, they've managed to mass create an army of psychic super soldier clone things. So it sort of seems like they could just, like, they whatever they were trying to do, it's done. They could just back off.
Well, you know? No, Lawrence, this is an elementary mistake. If you create an army of super clones that you can't control, you didn't really create an army.
You just created a, what?
A problem.
Yeah, a problem. Something you can't sell.
Look, I don't even know what Umbrella is doing at this point.
Like, they're a privately held corporation in a world that has 2,000 people left.
Well, it seems like Dr. Isaacs was trying to cure the T-virus. That makes sense to me. Because everyone's a zombie. If you can cure it, the world can maybe go back to some semblance of normal.
They do have a cure, apparently, now.
Do they?
Yeah, they cured Alice.
Lester cures her.
Yeah, but Alice was, like, not really infected, you know?
I don't know.
She had T-cells in her. We saw them.
I guess. But she's not a zombie.
It looked like T's.
Bro. I don't know. It killed the T-cells. I feel like if you
didn't
give
you see the T's?
Yeah, she has some kind of T-virus in her. That's true. But she's not a zombie, so I don't know how that works.
Why didn't he just give that to himself at the end?
I mean, he's like, oh, man, I shouldn't have wasted my one dose of that on Alice and then blown up the whole building where you could make more.
That brings up an interesting point that Lawrence brought up earlier in the group chat, which is, did she lose any powers? Maybe the psychic stuff. But otherwise, she seemed pretty much like her normal ass-kicking self.
Like, yeah. The only time I think that she seemed maybe human and not, like, psychic ass-kicking powers is when she got beat up by the pseudo-pyramid head guy. Like, she'd get thrown around the shower room and, like, immediately knocked unconscious. And then Claire had to fight him. And then...
But then every
other moment was like, no, she's just normal Alice.
And yeah. I mean, even in that scene, she got hit with a hammer that looked like it weighed 500 pounds so hard that she got hit into a linoleum wall and it cracked, you know, which action movies have kind of like inured us to this. But if you're a normal person, that does kill you, you know?
Maybe you, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just a normal Thursday for me.
I forgot. Ronald is, as always, built different.
I love how that fucking pyramid guy, like, I'm just waiting every time I watch this movie for him to just be there. Like, he's just there now?
Yep.
You didn't hear him stomping up or anything? Dragging his axe?
I know. No explanation whatsoever for why someone gave this 8-foot tall zombie. Like, they made an 8-foot tall zombie.
With a big hammer.
They stuck a bunch of hooks in him, and then they gave him a custom-built hammer that doesn't exist for anything.
Yeah. He can't talk.
I mean, he's smart enough to use a hammer, which I guess the other zombies aren't. But yeah, we never find out what his deal is.
Yeah, I guess he seems slightly smarter than a regular zombie because he went straight to the building and broke down the gate. But he didn't have like any kind of tactics or even when it came to the gate, like it seemed like he could have maybe just jumped over.
Well,
and he
Ronald
just banged on it.
Have you ever heard the expression, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Even gates.
Yeah, that dude, he had a hammer, Ronald.
He could have used the axe part of it to slice through the chains, probably.
What does everything look like when you have an axe?
A hammer? Wait.
It's like Maslow's hierarchy of tools. If you got an axe, everything looks like a hammer. If you got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you got a nail, everything looks like an axe.
Oh, it's like a triangle.
Is that a hierarchy? Yeah. I think that's a triangle.
Or a circle. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, the circle of life.
Great character. Pyramid head.
It wouldn't have made it. I think Lawrence brought up a point earlier that, like, if it had been explained, it would have been stupid. So it's probably better that it wasn't explained. But it's also like, how can you just have like a giant, weird, fucking bizarre character in the middle of the movie with no explanation and no, like, no one's like, why is that guy here? And there's a few times when they're like, what the hell is that thing? But then, like, nobody was like, seriously, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
clearly not just a zombie.
And it's not even like, you know, we don't really question the zombie dogs or anything. This guy, like, his whole thing violently clashes with the aesthetic and, like, style and everything concept of the movie, frankly. He's like this weird sadomasochistic Hellraiser on steroids thing, and everyone else is just, like, tentacle monsters, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, the tentacle zombies, you're like, okay, I mean, like, they're a little bit different than the regular zombies, but whatever.
It looks and
like
when did Blade 2 come out?
Definitely.
Now I'm thinking they just took everything from somewhere
else.
They did.
They totally stole it from Blade 2. You're absolutely right. Well, because Blade 2 was like 2000.
It was like 8 years earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Wes Anderson is actually Paul W.S. Anderson, not Wes Anderson. Has got on record and said that they stole or they took all these designs from Resident Evil 4 because it was so popular with the fans, which is why everything suddenly starts growing tentacles. And then this guy's just from fucking Silent Hill, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a character like that in Resident Evil 4, right?
There's the chainsaws. Yeah, there's the chainsaw guys, but they're not that guy. They're not like that big. They don't have the hooks through them.
But they are more powerful, I would say.
What if the lake monster had showed up, but they just hadn't explained that, you know? Resident Evil 4. We all remember that famous Resident Evil 4 lake monster,
yeah?
Don't we?
The one where you had to run on the platforms or something?
No, it's like you just, it pulls your boat around while you throw harpoons at him. It's like,
oh,
you
right.
Stop pulling the boat and you'd be fine, my dude, but it doesn't. And then you kill it. And then Leon goes to sleep.
Well, it's just a scared monster, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, fuck. I don't know. Anyone got it?
I have another two minor ones. So I really liked Wesker's like ironic little line when they come into his chamber and he says, they say something about loyalty and he's like, loyalty is overrated. And then his dogs walk out, and which are like paragons of loyalty.
Yeah. They listen to his commands and everything. And then he's like, stay back, boys. I don't want you to get hurt. So he's loyal to them too.
Yeah. And then he's like, I don't want you to hurt my pets. It's like, okay. What? And then I also really liked that the at the very end, the purge facility thing has a literal 2-digit authorization code.
I also enjoyed that the entire explosives needed to purge this entire facility are apparently one bomb just kind of strapped to a wall that you could very easily pull off.
Yeah, strapped to a wall, like basically where a med kit looks like it should be. It's like, why would it be there?
It's umbrella logic for you. you're lucky you didn't have just a single button that just set it off.
And you're lucky for 2 digits.
Yeah. You know how much RAM that takes?
When you do your orientation, they're like, and here's where the facility ending bomb is. You need to activate it. Umbrella's like, okay, yeah, I got to remember to keep that on my notes so that in case there's an emergency, I can come out here and just blow everyone to kingdom come.
Yeah, they didn't show this, but actually in the freighter control room, every other button, if you pushed it, it just opened the bottom of the boat and dumped everything in it into the ocean. That's just how Umbrella rolls.
And they called it the loading bay.
So I actually have a high point. So this part is so good. So they just land on the roof and they have a little small talk. Claire's randomly a dick for some reason, but we'll just move past that. And they're like, this is the last transmission from the Arcadia. And it's like, something, this is the Arcadia. We have food and supplies and rawr! And there's like an obvious zombie sound, and they're like, it just ends. I don't know what happened.
And that makes no sense in retrospect, because it was Umbrella trying to trap
people. No, no, no. What happened there was that Wesker,
started killing him.
Yeah, Wesker was trying up eating all of the crew so that he could consume their pure fresh
in the middle of faking the radio message.
Yeah. It was like they're like we don't know what happened to the Arcadia. I'm like, bro, the entire world is zombies. Yeah. You can probably make an inference.
You can make a good guess. It's also like they said clearly that it's the same message, which you would think would be recorded, but apparently they're fucking live recording it every single time they say the same exact line with the same exact, like,
that was the Umbrella tone. Intern.
Yeah, they got Umbrella has to make him feel like he's doing something important, like he has a job.
Look, I mean, how many times has there been something at work that you could automate it, but you kind of like having like 10 minutes of busy work every day while you check your email or your Twitter or whatever, you know? Just that. That's what the recording is.
It would be really good if when they were listening to it, it was like, this is the Arcadia. Come see us if you want to, if you were seeking shelter, blah! And then you hear like, oh, oh shit, does that say live?
That's like, basically what it was.
How's this? The guy's like, this is the Arcadia. It's totally safe.
No, that's obviously still like cum or whatever.
No, seriously, guys, this isn't an Umbrella trap at all. But he just can't fucking keep a straight face through the
room. We have so many quarters here.
Three quarters.
Yeah, he's been monitoring Alice through the spy camera, so he starts like putting in specific Alice things to lure her. And he's like, we got quarters, we got creepy little girls, I think you like those. We got that one hunky dude from the first one. It turns out we could un-nemesify him, so he's on this boat. Just...
Everything Alice loves is on this boat.
We
pretty
got
much
a bunch of high heeled shoes that somehow still are really practical and never make you lose your footing. Knives, cookery, so
knives,
many cookeries.
Yep, I like how she opens her like little bag of goodies in the prison, and she's got like ninja stars.
So impractical.
Apparently her plan for raiding the Umbrella facility in the first thing was she was going to jump down with katanas and ninja stars, use the ninja stars to kill some guys, and then take their guns. And somehow this does work.
Why like, not?
Nah, they'll have guns there, but you know what they won't have? Ninja stars. So I'm taking ninja stars.
And a sword. There's a really annoying part at the very beginning where... like, she's fighting a bunch of soldiers, and she takes out her swords, and then, like, for some reason, the soldiers are aiming their guns at her, but they just run straight at her so that she can stab them both, and it's like, why would you do that, man?
Well, what you don't understand is that
those soldiers...
that was
just suicide.
Those soldiers were very depressed about the state of the world and how Wesker was an asshole boss, and they're like, fuck it, our families are dead, let's just let this sword chick kill us.
Yeah, they're like, our RSUs are fucking worthless, man.
That makes more sense than literally anything else.
No, see, obviously, we established in previous movies that Alice has psychic powers, she, like, crushed people's brains from afar, right? Well, now, that got boring, so instead she just mind controls them to walk into her swords. And that's more fun.
It's like they're already all dead, right? Because she brain ate them.
She's like puppeteering their corpses around like fucking Weekend at Bernie's, essentially.
Yeah,
you're right. She, if there was any continuity, her and her clones would have just like psychic blasted the facility.
They did do a psychic blast.
They did?
It didn't seem to be as good though. Like before,
the clones maybe aren't as good at the psychic stuff. I don't know.
Need more classes.
That's what it's not clear, because in the third one clearly they're not, but in the fourth one I don't, you know, who knows if how much of that continuity has gone out the window at this point. You can't really trust it.
No, you absolutely cannot.
Certainly not as far as you could throw it.
Yeah.
This movie made good money though. All these issues aside, it made some good money.
It did?
Yeah, so maybe we're the idiots.
It made like 300 milli.
Yeah, this is actually, holy for a long time, this, until the Super Mario Brothers movies came out. This was the most profitable video game like adaptation franchise ever, you know? Like, all of these made money. They didn't cost very much to make.
It's incredible to me that at this point, this movie is so stupid and, like, past its past its prime. I mean, in some ways, maybe it's one of the good ones, but, like, I feel like, story-wise, it is well past telling anything interesting. And, like, it's making $300 million?
And also, no nudity in this one. This is the rare movie series where there's less nudity as it goes on.
The real shocking fact.
Yeah.
Dang, there are man, you're right.
Very hot ladies in it, though. So
yeah,
true.
I have like a few. I don't know what they are about the final fight.
So, yeah, I've got one too.
Yeah. So first off, Wesker is like looking at Chris and Claire, and he goes like, "Chris and Claire Redfield, you've proven quite an inconvenience to me." And it's like, one, how has he ever even met them before? Because Chris has spent like the last, 2 years or something stuck in a fucking cage. And two, like, I mean, how have they inconvenienced him? He's apparently spent all of his time in a hive, like, doing sinister experiments on people. What?
And before that, he seems like he was just in the army.
Yeah.
And that was like right before the outbreak happened or whatever. So it's not
They were teamed up with Alice in the last movie.
Chris was
not Chris.
Yeah, not Chris, but Claire was.
But
yeah,
I mean,
Claire was.
I don't think, I mean, did anything Claire? I guess they kind of overran that one hive where the guy had stopped following Wesker's orders and was trying to make himself into a tentacle monster.
Yeah, they kind
of. They helped kill Isaacs.
But. And by that point, like, Wesker didn't like Isaacs.
I mean, isn't that a good thing at that point?
Yeah, it seems like Isaacs was busy killing
himself.
I kind
of forgot about that. I forgot that Wesker wanted to kill him. You know what? It's not like motivations in this, like, stay.
It almost seems like they'd be really good friends.
Yeah, right? It does.
They'd have a healthy respect for each other because Wesker's sort of like, look, I don't like you, but you did take care of that thing for me, and I'm a little bit grateful, you know? But anyways, and then the other thing is that Wesker throws them into these, like, tubes that are, like, what, 2-3 feet in circumference, you know, like, so tight that they're just beyond the guy's their shoulders, right? And then, you know, Claire's, like, pounding on him trying to get out, and Chris whips out his gun and starts trying to blast through the glass, right? But it doesn't do anything, which means that there's bullets just ricocheting around in there, which means he is dead as fuck.
Turned it into the blender.
Yeah. Anyways, what did you have, Ronald?
I mean, I don't know how we didn't mention this, but, like, it's probably the most iconic part of the movie. In when they go in to fight Wesker, for some reason, he takes off his sunglasses, throws them at Chris. Chris catches him. And then they continue to fight, and then Wesker takes them back and then puts them back on. And that whole sequence is completely useless and pointless. But you know what? It happened. I think that we need to talk about it.
Yeah, and I kept asking the guys, like, why did I guess Wesker throwing them sort of makes sense because it's the kind of unexpected shit that might give you like a brief moment of distraction in a fight. But why the fuck did Chris catch them? You know.
He thought it was a gift.
He's like, "Oh shit, are these Oakleys? Cool."
He's been in that cave in that cage in the prison for 2 years. So it's very, very, very bright outside to him. So he's like, "Cool, sunglasses.
Perfect.
This will help me in this weird home. Sort of formless white void we're fighting in."
Yeah, in the middle of a freaking ship.
Yeah, true. That place was very bright.
Yeah, what was up with that? I guess it's supposed to look like Umbrella Company or something.
Yeah. Oh, and then at another point, Alice is like, "Hey, so you killed your guys," and Wesker's like, "It's okay, I have someone else now." And then it's just Kim Coates coming out and looking even more paler and sicker and weaker than he normally does, and Alice defeats him basically instantly.
Well, it's like, did the zombie bite him, or what happened to him?
Yeah, no clue. Something happened to make Kim Coates join Albert Wesker, and it's very unclear what, and it's never explained. They don't even show him having one of those spider mind control things on him.
Yeah.
Did we mention that they mind control you using spiders in this movie in a minor plot point that never really matters?
I think Brandon mentioned it in this
movie. Okay, good, good. Yeah, there's mind control spiders. They're made out of metal, though. It's not like they're like crawly.
Yeah. They have a big gym in the middle.
Hip. Anyone else got anything? I don't fucking know, man. It's dumb, but it's like fun to watch, kind of.
I like how they had to like depower Wesker so dramatically for him to lose.
Did they? I mean, when did he have power?
I mean, he was dodging shit.
Bullets. Oh yeah, which implies
it's the same fight though.
I know, but
it's not like they showed him earlier to like pump him up, like oh god, he's so good, and then.
Yeah,
and then later he's true. Like, oh, I can't die. It's literally the same fight. Like, nothing is consistent even within, like, 30 seconds of each other.
I'm imagining now, like, Alice and Wesker and the rest are fighting, and Alice is like, we gotta just keep him occupied for 5 more minutes. The developers are putting in a patch. He's gonna be way less powerful.
Nerf ink.
Just gotta stay alive,
guys. Fix him.
Yeah.
And then there's a little note from the developer saying, like, we're sorry, we did not intend for Wesker to be this powerful. Having reviewed some logs, we are reducing the damage of his fist by half and increasing the time it takes him to dodge a bullet by 10%.
We accidentally copy-pasted code from the Matrix.
Yep. Yeah. Fuck it. I got nothing.
I got nothing guys, else.
No. Yeah, Brandon? I'm all out.
Nothing else.
All right, you guys want to play a game?
Yeah, I love playing a game.
All right, we didn't talk about this actually too much in the summary, but when they go onto the battleship and they realize that it was an umbrella trap, they realize that there's like a bunch of tubes that capture people and it takes them beneath the floor, and Umbrella is somehow experimenting on those people.
And I would like to point out that at this point, it appears that there's maybe like 10,000 people left on the planet or something.
Like,
which means that something like 10% of the population of humans on planet Earth are now hidden in the floor in these tubes in some kind of suspended animation for no clear reason.
Okay, so I'm going to pose a hypothetical to you all now. The world has ended. There are like 1,000 humans left. You capture 100 of those, so 10% of humanity that's left. To run experiments on those people. Running an experiment on a person kills them. What possible experiments could you run that would be helpful to you or anyone else in any way?
Well, Ronald, there is one burning question that I think all of us have, which is, if I consume fresh human DNA, would it redress the balance? So I think I would try that at least once.
What balance? Do you have the T-virus?
Nope. I feel a little unbalanced and I want to get it redressed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's not really an experiment, but you go for it, man.
Also,
I guess it's an experiment on yourself.
And I mean, it is on one person. Also, I think I'd try just poking one.
Wait, you don't actually need to kill somebody to drink some of their blood. Why was he killing them?
I don't know. Also, I assume he's eating them whole. Also, well, we later see some of his victims.
So he was just hungry, is what we're saying.
Well, we later see some of his victims, and they're dried out like mummy husks, which, okay, he's drinking their blood, fine, but he could also have just sucked all the cum out of them to the point where they just look like that. God, if you follow my Wesker drinking cum theory.
It does line up.
Yeah, it's beyond ghost loads. You're literally cumming your soul. Is that the grossest thing I've ever said on this program?
Not even.
No, gross. No.
That's good.
Sadly, no. It's like that scene in Aliens 3 or Alien Resurrection where that alien's getting sucked out that little hole in the space station.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
That's the dumbest looking alien in all the alien franchises and
stuff. Yeah, yeah. The baby.
What experiment are you running on people?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, here I am. I'm Wesker, and I'm on this ship, and I've got the hunger.
You don't have to be Wesker if you don't want to be.
Oh, I'd rather be Wesker.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Sure. Yeah, why would you not be Wesker if that's on the table?
And, you know, I've got a hunger for some talkies. So, you know, we unfreeze the first dude and we give him some cornmeal and some whatever you need. And the experiment is, if he can make an acceptable talkie, well, he's going to die either way, but... At least I'll get some fresh made talkies, you know.
You can tell him that he won't.
Right, I'll tell him that he won't, but I'm still gonna kill him, is what you're saying, right?
I mean, it's the rules.
So then I take the recipe that this one dude who's now dead, I don't know how, who killed him, but he's dead now. So I'll take his recipe, and if it was good, I'll give it to the next guy.
Oh, it's like a freaking genetic algorithm.
Yeah, to make the perfect takis.
Yeah, with people that are dying. Now, you need like a pool of people and select the best ones, I guess.
Also, Rahul, are you going to put their corpses, tell them to put the corpses in the takis? Be honest.
Well, I don't really have any ingredients on this strangely clean hospital ship looking thing. So I don't know what choice I have, you know. It's like, so, yeah. I got human bodies and I presumably have some sort of fuel that's powering the ship. Those are my two ingredients.
That's toilet talkies.
Toilet talkies. Talkies are no people. Cookies. Yeah, that's my Grand Wesker plan.
All right. You know, that's not the worst thing I've heard. At it's least you're there, doing though. Something. It's not super useful, but
yeah, it's to power the new talkie division of Umbrella. Yeah.
if we can master talkie technology, the profits to our shareholders will be extreme.
Hundreds.
Like what shareholders at this point? Yeah. I think they're all dead.
Who said that? Have them killed.
Yeah. Have him make a talkie.
No. Put them in the Nemesis program, which is.
I want him in the Nemesis program.
And put the guy in the Nemesis program in the Taki program. It's the circle of life.
You know, how come there aren't a million Nemesis running around at this point? Also, where did the liquors go?
Got me, man. Well, I mean, there's only, apparently you can only nemesify that one dude. Like, that's the only one it worked on.
They just got pretty lucky on that one, I guess.
Yeah, and Alice killed him, I guess. She pushed him into a pipe or something. I kind of forget, honestly.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It seemed like he became the nemesis because that liquor licked his arm.
Well, liquors don't lick that many people, Ronald.
Yeah, I guess.
They're called liquors because that's the one thing they never do.
Huh.
You do everything else, huh?
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, what experiment are you running on people?
Well, I mean, I can't really think of anything useful to do, which I guess is not an exception here. But maybe we just like unfreeze a few of them at a time and like run a Hunger Games kind of tournament, and then, you know, the winner just goes into the next one. And
entertainment, baby.
Do that? Yeah, useful. Exactly. Like, I mean, we have entertainment. We don't really have sports or anything. As you know, this movie addressed. So let's make some sport.
I mean, Ronald was just talking about the genetic algorithms. What are the Hunger Games but a genetic algorithm to find the best dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume you'll be eating the best dude.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah, unfortunately, even the winner doesn't make it out on this.
You're kind of just eating all of them. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald, you didn't tell us we should try to, like, save the guys. You said we should experiment on them to kill
you
them.
You can't. In fact, you cannot save them.
Yeah.
Literally everyone who you experiment on dies.
Yep. And if you leave them in the tube, let's say they die too. So, you know, nope. You don't got to.
Right. There's no air in the tube. I mean, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One way or another, they're dead. So you may as well do the experiment that you want to do.
Ronald, do you have an experiment?
You go first.
I mean, I'm going to.
You just said poke them.
Well, I also said that I was going to consume their fresh human DNA to address the balance.
unspecified origin.
Oh, right, that's your experiment.
You know what? I'll say one other thing. I think that I'd go over to the Umbrella, like, biogenetic engineering guys and be like, okay, we got zombies mastered. You guys think you can make one of these dudes a werewolf? You guys see, I think it's mostly making monsters. Let's like branch out, you know?
You don't think a werewolf was a monster?
I mean, it is a monster, but it's a different kind of monster. Like, they made Alice into kind of a Samara figure, and they got zombies, but they should try to make, like, a werewolf, a Dracula. But
Alice was an accident.
Really?
Yeah, they weren't trying.
Well, I mean, they can't reproduce it.
They can't reproduce it, so it must have been an accident.
Well, that doesn't mean it was an accident.
Yeah, that doesn't really make it an accident, I guess, but...
I mean, it's
like a crime solved
problem.
But
it is like a, yeah, like kind of a freak luck thing.
Yeah. Anyways, werewolves, that's where I'm going. Now, Ron, what's yours?
Okay, mine was that I would basically try to get, you know, assuming in this scenario that I'm some kind of DNA expert, I would try to infect them with a super T virus that could survive on different planets, and then I'd launch them to those planets.
So hell
the
yeah.
T-virus, the T-virus can take over other places, too.
Nice.
You know? Gotta spread the love.
Is there still a launch capability on planet Earth?
Probably not, but you know what? I'll just catapult them.
If anyone's got it, it's gonna be fucking Umbrella, though, you know?
Yeah.
I seem to kind of have everything else.
No one else is using the rockets, so may as well
use
them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, real talk, Raul, if I told you in, like, movie, like, 5 or whatever, 6, the last one, that it turned out that Umbrella's like last plan was to try to just launch their guys into space and go colonize Mars, you'd believe me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't think I've seen the last one, so I do believe you.
It turns out that Umbrella's plan was, like, they got all these clones. Everyone's turns out to
you don't
be
need
clones.
To explain it. We'll get there.
I mean, I've read the Wikipedia summary for it multiple times, and I saw the movie, and I still don't really, it seems stupid. I mean, okay, yeah, I just realized how stupid that was when I said it. Of course it's stupid. Why wouldn't it be? Anyways,
yeah, we've seen the other ones.
Yeah, they're awful.
All right, you guys want to do recommendations and cautions?
Sounds good. Why don't you go first, Ronald?
Okay, I will. Okay, today I've been very positive lately. I've got two recommendations and no caution. My first recommendation, I've been rewatching this, for the first time and maybe since it's come out, Burn Notice from 2007, starring Jeffrey Donovan. This was like in an era where, like, I think this is USA, and USA had like a lot of pretty popular serial, like episodic shows. And I think this one kind of stands out. Like, Monk and Psych were both really good, as well. This one is kind of different. It's less comedic than, like, you would expect of a USA, like, kind of investigation show. It's also not a cop show. Like, so it stars this guy who's, like, was in the CIA and was burned, and now he, like, lives in Miami. He's trying to get, like, unburned, which is a whole complicated thing, but he's also just, like, kind of playing as, like a Miami Robin Hood, where anyone who has, like, serious issues that they can't solve and they can't really go to the police with, they go to him. And, like, he breaks the law all the time. And it's not, like, from a position of power. It's not like he's, you know, a cop who's like, I gotta put a bad guy away. Like, he'll often, like, you know, go against the cops or whatever. And stuff like that. Like, it's a pretty interesting show. I really like it. Jeffrey Donovan really kills it as the lead in this show, and also has Bruce Campbell, who's hilarious. So it's a really good show. I've been rewatching it. I'm like already through 3 seasons, and it's been pretty consistently good. My second recommendation is a new season of Baki just dropped. Baki Hanma. Now, it's kind of weird. There's 3 seasons of Baki on Netflix. There's 4 actually. There's 2 series though. The first one is just Baki, and then the second series is Baki Hanma. It's the same series. I don't know why they split them. It might be a different animator. But this was Baki Hanma season 2, which is like season 4 of Netflix. And the first season of Netflix cuts like into the middle of the manga. So it's kind of a whole jumble, but the new season of Baki Hanma is really good. The premise of this one is that some scientist found... Now, let me tell you, Baki is probably one of the most insane animes you've ever seen. It's like a fighting anime. It does not take itself... It takes itself very seriously and, like, not at all seriously at the same time. Like, people do ridiculous shit in this... And, like, the premise of this season is that a scientist finds an ancient human from dinosaur times encased in an iceberg. And he melts the iceberg, and brings the human back to life. And this guy is like fucking huge. And inside the iceberg, he was fighting and killing a T-Rex. And so everyone on Earth is like, holy crap, I guess this is the most powerful human to have ever lived. And all of the martial artists from the other seasons of Baki have gathered to fight this guy because they have to they have to see who's stronger, which is fucking hilarious. But it also, it has this like undertone of like kind of terror, because this character, his name is Pickle, because he was encased in salt rock, so they call him Pickle. He's super, super strong, but he'll only fight something if he thinks it's prey, and he only fights things that are prey if he thinks they're strong enough. But what that means is if he beats somebody in a fight, he literally eats them.
Cool.
Yeah, and so it has this really strange kind of like body horror elements in this season, where like anytime you're worried about a character losing, you're like, this guy's going to get fucking eaten. And that's kind of terrifying to me. So this season has been really good. I haven't quite finished it yet, but it's Baki. I really like it. So
I'm going to put an image of Pickle into the Discord for folks who haven't seen this. He is a... Well, here. Just go to the...
Classic Baki body.
Oh my god.
He's got muscles that, like, so defined, it's like, that's not a real muscle, and it's still defined on him.
That's absolutely how, that's like all of Baki animation, and that's
his
like,
fucking
that's,
thighs are so tiny. I know.
It's taken from the animator, who the animator, like, is very adept at knowing human anatomy. He's really good at it. But he intentionally over designs his characters to have like muscles where they wouldn't normally. It's not just like bad art. Like he like just imagines how he wants muscles to work, and that's how he draws it. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, really cool show. Really fucking strange, and definitely just like one of the craziest animes I've seen. I fucking love Baki. Definitely watch all of it if you haven't seen it. But the new season's out, so. That's it for me. Sorry for taking so long.
Yes, I'm going to go next, which is... So I rewatched the movie Dread from, like, 2012. And you know what? That movie fucking owns. I wish it had made, like, $1 billion so we could have more of them. Carl Still Urban. Yeah, Carl Urban. Incredible. Olivia Trilby. Just awesome. Just Judge Dread as a character. This is a movie that sort of understands how to play him, where it's like there are jokes and he is a joke, but also you have to treat him seriously within the movie, which is a mistake that the fucking Sylvester Stallone movie made like horribly. So it's just like this really tight and controlled and really, really violent story about Dredd going in and trying to bust up a criminal gang in a high rise and the plot of the Raid Redemption happening to him, except apparently it was being made at the same time as the Raid Redemption. It's just a really weird case of convergent evolution. Just fantastic stuff. Seek it out if you haven't. It is so cool. And you know what, I don't have a caution. I've kind of liked everything I've consumed recently, so yeah, that's it. Go see Dread. Rahul, you got something?
I rewatched Dune, and the first time, I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was a little boring, but the second time I really appreciated a lot of the sand effects, and I thought the music was a little much, but it was good. It was still good the second time. I think better the second time. So, not a strong caution, but I mean, sorry, not a strong whatever the opposite of caution is, whatever the antonym of caution is. And I have no cautions.
You know,
thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I love that your recommendation is just, I liked the sand, but didn't like the music. Watch this movie.
No, the movie was good. You know, I do think the music was overdone.
Those are the highlights.
although I guess if any movie you're going to recommend based on the sand, it's Dune.
That is fair.
It's certainly not Star Wars.
Yeah. The opposite of anything.
Brent.
Okay.
Yeah, Brent.
So I have one recommendation, one caution. So my caution is the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I watched this thinking that Jim Carrey might carry, no pun intended, might carry the movie. And yeah, I don't think that really worked out. I'd say that like half of his like contributions to the movie were still pretty good, but then the other half is meh. And I think the entire rest of the movie is like, I just didn't care what was happening. I didn't think it was funny. So yeah, I mean, you can certainly give it a shot, but yeah, I didn't think it was that interesting. And then my recommendation is for the Super Mario Bros. Movie. And I thought that was kind of interesting because these are both movies, like video game movies, that come from like not having an actual defined story that they're trying to adapt. but I found the Mario movie was actually more interesting. I had forgotten that Chris Pratt, there's like some controversy about him doing the Mario voice because of something about him doing like a bad Italian accent. But yeah, they basically just explain that as like that they do that for a commercial. And then the rest of the time they have like Brooklyn accents. And yeah, I liked Jack Black as Bowser because I think this is probably one of the times when he's not just doing, you know, Bowser as himself. Except for when he sings Peaches, I think he actually is kind of doing a voice that isn't just Jack Black talking. And the only thing I was kind of disappointed about was I wish that like Luigi actually had like a little character arc. He was just kind of like scared the whole movie, and then at the very end he's suddenly brave for whatever reason. But I feel like there was opportunity, like when he got captured by Bowser, for him to like maybe be the one that like either half rescues himself, or he like you know, organizes other prisoners, or do something, which was kind of extra disappointing because he's voiced by Charlie Day.
So, I've heard that movie's really good. I've been wanting to watch it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Oh, sweet. You know what? I actually just thought of one thing I want to caution against, kinda.
Okay.
So did you guys see that Fool's Paradise movie that Charlie Day directed earlier this year?
No.
Yeah, neither did America, which is kind of sad for Charlie Day. Yeah, it's really weird. It's like Charlie Day stars as a guy who gets released from a mental hospital, and his whole thing is that just he's incredibly suggestible and like will sort of try to mimic whoever he's around. And he somehow ends up as a stand-in for another Charlie Day in a movie. The other Charlie Day is horrible and dies very quickly. So you've got this new Charlie Day just kind of walking around looking pained and like trying to get people to like him without talking and mimicking their expression, and ending up in this weird kind of semi-abusive relationship with Ken Jeong. And it was really weird because it wasn't funny. And I'm like, is this trying to be funny? Because, I mean, Charlie Day, right? He could make something funny if he wanted it to be funny, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I straight up, it's like one of the most baffling movies I've ever seen because it sort of has the appearance of a comedy, but no laughs or even things that I could really point to and say are jokes. And yeah, I think Charlie Day is trying really hard. It's like him trying to do like a Philip Kaufman or whatever role. What's that guy? The guy from Being There? And Dr. Strangelove? God damn it. Not Philip Kaufman. Peter Sellers. It's him trying to do his Peter being. Sellers. Yeah, it's him trying to do his being there, where it's like this incredibly tightly controlled performance, but the movie around him is just letting him down so bad. And
I was assuming that he was trying to do like Buster Keaton or something.
Maybe, but the like showbiz angle, it doesn't have any big slapstick things, really.
Though. Oh, weird.
Yeah, you might even want to see it, I guess, although I probably wouldn't pay money to it because, again, it is not very good. And also, don't be afraid to look away if you get bored because there's a pretty good chance you're going to get bored.
Yeah, not a shining recommendation there.
I mean, I will say this. I've thought about that movie a lot since I saw it like 4 months ago, and it is one of the most baffling movies I've ever seen, which isn't like a recommendation, but is like, I mean, when was the last time you were baffled by a movie? Like, you didn't know what the fuck it was trying to do, you know?
Yeah, oh, I just watched one. It's called Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'd rather watch something like that than, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which I totally agree with Brandon on, where, like, I watched that movie and it left, like, no impression on me, and I barely remember it now, even though I watched the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Rahul, do you have a plug?
No plug.
I have a plug.
Hit me.
What do you got?
You should Google, anyone should Google the NPC TikTok streamers.
Oh, and yeah. Dude, I love that.
And
shit.
Just know that they are probably making more money than you are doing that.
Damn it.
That's the
Yeah, I got to hop on that trend, man. You guys should follow my TikTok. I hope to be pumping out NPC content.
You know what? I think you would do well.
What? Thank you. I think.
I have another plug, which is this paragraph taken from the Wikipedia article on Tracy Reed, who you may remember as the bikini woman from Doctor Strange Love. And I present, I think that these are the most British sentences that have ever been written. Reed was the daughter of director Anthony Pelissier and actress Penelope Dudley Ward. She took the surname of her stepfather, Carol Reed, following her mother's remarriage in 1948. Reed was the granddaughter of actress Faye Compton and producer H.D. Pelissier, and of socialite Frieda Dudley Ward and politician William Dudley Ward, a great-grandson of William Humble Ward, 10th Baron Ward. Her great-uncle was novelist Sir Compton Mackenzie. Actor Oliver Reed was a step-cousin. She attended this Ironside school in Kensington.
Jesus
nice.
Christ.
The Ironsides at Kensington. Yes. Great school.
Yeah. Dear God. All right, Brandon, I looked this up and I thought you were talking about something else, but I do know this.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that other thing. Let me look it up.
He is talking about that thing that.
Oh, he is. Okay.
The gang gang.
Gang gang.
I'm hungry.
Yum yum.
Yum yum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God damn it.
There's another trend on TikTok that I think is really funny and worth checking out. It's unrelated to this kind of, but it's just people doing the miming or the like walking motions from different games. Like in Oblivion when characters would like walk into a wall over and over.
Yeah.
People like do that but in real life. And I think that's pretty hilarious. And you know what? Those guys deserve their money.
Yep. I mean, if you're willing to walk into a wall, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm about paying for that. So.
Yep. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.